everybody, and welcome to another week of Magic the Amateuring, a podcast about amateurs who magic.
That's right. There's two of us, Maria and...
Megan. I'm Magic.
I'm the Amateuring. What a bad nickname.
That's the two of us.
And
well,
of course,
you know, like, it's like, just like they said, like, Magic Johnson couldn't have been so good at basketball if he hadn't had
the name,
his really great teammate, Amateuring McGillicuddy, supporting him. It's like a very traditional Tim Duncan, Manu Ginobili type pairing, you know.
I would thought you were going to say he couldn't have done so good at basketball if his name wasn't Magic.
Oh.
Because, like, don't you think that your name really propels you in life to where you are?
Does it?
I mean, my name's Maria. I was named after Maria in The Sound of Music. My mom was pregnant with me when she was directing it. And I think my whole life was basically, people would sing, "How do you solve a problem like Maria?" to me all the time. And, like, I basically felt like I was that nun who was just, like, a little crazy on the inside but trapped in this
nun?
In this nunnery.
Yeah. I guess I've always felt like less than a Margaret.
Okay, sure. Yeah.
Megan was technically once a nickname for Margaret.
Isn't that so weird, like, that Margaret has, like, the most bizarre nicknames?
It really does.
Like,
isn't
what's
Peggy?
The one? Peggy. Yeah.
Peggy.
What?
I don't know. I don't know.
Somebody was, I don't know what they were doing when they called Margaret Peggy. Maybe it was, like, somebody who had, like, two little peg legs and her name just happened to be Margaret and it was a really mean nickname. Hey, Peggy.
Aww.
And it just stuck.
It just stuck.
On today's episode of Magic the Amateuring, we'll be talking about a myriad of different topics.
Yeah, we will. We're going to be covering some new goals that we're setting for ourselves.
Goals!
We're going to answer a mailbag question.
Mailbag!
We're going to talk about GP Costa Rica and how Seth Manfield cannot be stopped.
Waterfalls!
We're going to talk about the Community Super League.
Super!
Have a flavor text theater.
Theater!
And give you a sneak preview of a sweet special show we have coming up next week.
Biscuits!
Oh, yeah, it's our show with biscuits. Biscuits
biscuit
is a trick
episode.
Goat. So get ready.
It's a pygmy goat, so he's really cute.
Yeah.
Oh, God, the cops are coming for biscuits.
No, Maria, I told you the biscuits, we're not technically allowed to keep him here.
Why?
Because he's a circus goat and we stole him.
Well, maybe I'll license, this show is already a business, maybe now it's a circus business.
But he literally belongs to another circus.
Oh, so, like, he's legit stolen property.
He's legit a stolen goat.
Well,
but look, I love this show,
biscuits.
So I will steal a goat for it.
Thank you.
And they always say, if you love something, steal a goat for it.
Yep.
Then let the goat go.
But I don't want to let biscuits go.
Maria, you have to. It's part of the saying.
Maybe ghost host. What do you think?
He would say that.
He would. Hey everybody, before we get started with the show, I just want to quick point out that we do have a Patreon, patreon.com/mtacast, and you can become a member of our Patreon family for only $1 an episode. That's less than a membership to NPR that you know, may or may not already give to.
Yeah, and on the bright side, we're not NPR.
Also on the bright side, we're not offering you a tote bag nor a discount pass to national parks. Instead, we're giving you stuff you actually want, like a playmat.
Yeah, and a shirt.
Yes, so come on and sign up for Patreon today and become a member of our family. We're almost near our next goal, which means we will be releasing a blooper video of ever since we started making videos for the professor on Tulare Community College. Bloopers since then. I want to see it because I'm not making it. The professor is making it, so I have no idea what he's going to put in it.
No idea.
But I can say this. It's going to be really funny because before we actually start recording the show or start at the point where we're talking about magic, we do BS around quite a bit before we start going.
And to be fair, we also BS quite a bit once we get going.
That's true. So you can only imagine what it'll be like. That's going to happen in just a few short dollars. Perhaps you are the person to push it over the top. Patreon.com/MTACast. Of course, shirts and playmats available straight for purchase on our website, magicthamateuring.com. So head over there and become a part of the fam. You won't be the crazy uncle. You'll be the cool cousin.
Hey, everybody. We have a mailbag question.
Yeah, we sure do.
We're going to start out with it at the very top, which is where we usually put For the Noobs. But it's a great question about GPs and going to a first GP. Yeah. So we're putting it right up here.
This is a message from Ruby. It reads, "Hey guys, congrats on your results at GP Minneapolis."
Thanks, Homeslice.
That's great. I followed along via Twitter. Very exciting. Follow us on Twitter at MTAcast. So I need some advice. I've been playing Magic on and off for about the past 2 years, but I've been around it via my partner and friends for the past 4. I haven't really played anything competitively, just a lot of Monday night drafts, FNMs, and the odd standard or modern tournament at my LGS. We're all going to be attending GP Sydney at the end of July, and everyone's egging me on to actually play at the GP rather than observe. I also want to play at the GP, but I'm really nervous that I'm going to fail a lot or have a bad time or just seem like a total noob to everyone. Do you have any advice for my first GP?"
Yes, we do have advice.
Thanks for writing, Ruby. We would love to tell you our advice.
The first thing is that you might fail a lot.
Yep.
That's just a thing that happens. It happens to players just starting out. It happens to players who have been playing for forever. Everyone, like, you see pros not make day two sometimes.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It is totally a thing that happens. And it is absolutely okay because you are amongst so many other failures. And I mean that in the nicest way possible.
It's true. Like, how many GPs did we go to and, like, just had...
Like, a lot.
You know,
like,
not great records at all.
I'm sure that our first couple of GPs, like, yeah, I lost a lot of rounds.
Yeah, for sure.
I will still lose a lot of rounds.
Yep, we will.
Everybody loses a lot of rounds. It's death, taxes, and losing.
Like, life advice, too.
Yeah.
Be okay with failure. I know I'm getting deep on you right now, but as soon as in my life I got really okay with failing,
yeah,
so much was so much easier, you know, because it happens to everybody constantly. It's like a daily thing. Mm-hmm. And if you're just like, okay, this is something that happened, now I'm going to move on and explore the rest of my life from here, things are a lot easier. So yeah, don't worry about it. You could fail, but guess what?
GPs, it's okay,
are chock full of awesome side events that you can, yeah, just, you know, shack off and go play.
It's a great place to fail. Which seems counterintuitive because, yeah, it's in super public. There's tons of people there. It is still a totally great place to fail because, like we said, there are tons of great other things to do. There are lots of other people who are also failing. Also, you might surprise yourself,
yeah,
and do awesome. You might kick ass. You said that you haven't played anything competitively, but you talked about playing at your LGS a lot, and that sure as heck is competitive, man.
Yeah, there's lots of people at GPs who are just bringing a homebrew, and they're just kitchen table players, and they're playing the main event.
Mm-hmm.
And
I played so many people at GP Minneapolis through all of the different rounds who are at their first GP,
yep,
and were doing great.
Yeah.
Who are just kicking ass and taking names.
Absolutely. So don't be afraid, and if you don't do as hot as you wanted to, I've got an article coming out on Daily MTG very shortly about all the other things you can do at a GP. Like, I've got a rundown of side events if you don't know how to play Mini Masters. If you're interested in Two-Headed Giant, perhaps they're going to be offering a, what is it called, sealed draft, which is a really fun format. There's all sorts of wacky stuff going on the side. So even if you scrub out of the main event, there's plenty to do.
Yeah. Not to mention, it's such a learning experience to play in your first GP.
Yeah.
Again, like, no matter if you do well or if you do poorly, if you do somewhere in the middle, just going and, like, challenging yourself to play in it, and accept, you know, whatever your record is at the end of the day is, You learn so much. You learn so much about Magic. You learn so much about competitive play. You learn so much about, like, other decks. You learn a lot about yourself, man.
Like, you're gonna probably screw up a bunch and make some misplays because that happens to all of us who are newer players, and even experienced players. But guess what? Once you do it, there's a way less chance that you're going to do it again.
I would say the number one way I learned not to do things is by doing them the first time. And then being like, whoops.
Yep.
That was bad. It was like round 12 or 13. I think it was like round 13 of GP Minneapolis. I had seen my opponent's hand a ton of times with, like, a bunch of different, you know, like, discard spells. And they had drawn one card since I had last seen their hand. Yeah. They only had one card in hand. And I have a Thought Knot Seer, and I attack in, being like, I need to finish them off before they can draw out of it, because they had, like, no board at that point.
Yeah.
So I attack in with my Thought Knot Seer. My opponent's playing green-white tokens, and they flash in an Avacyn. And it's just do you know what? I shouldn't have attacked in that spot. I got sloppy. Like, it was after so many rounds of magic. Like, I did not completely think through the consequences. I was being kind of brash because I had seen so much of their hand. They only had one unknown.
Yeah.
And it's like, man, that was a giant mistake. But you know what? I sure as heck am never going to make that mistake again.
I can't say that I haven't forgotten about Avacyn, because I have. And I'm somebody who needs to make a mistake probably 3 to 5 times before I remember to remember Avacyn, which isn't, you know, great, but that's just my way.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a very kind of like by your gut player. And sometimes we forget that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, so you're going to learn a lot no matter what. I didn't want to play in GP Minneapolis. I told the story last week where I almost didn't. And my friend was like, come on, how often is a GP here? So how often does a GP come to
Sydney? By your friend? Are you talking about me?
No, Greg.
Oh, okay.
And you.
Like, and me, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
But he was...
I have this friend who plays Magic. She does a podcast about it. It's super interesting.
He was specifically said the words, how often do you get a chance to play in a standard GP? Because we don't often travel for a standard GP or have it in the past.
No, we super don't.
So I was like, okay, that's a fair point. We don't always go to them. Fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, so tips. So now that we're sure you're going to play.
Yep.
Tips.
You better.
Make sure whatever deck you're playing that you get a little familiar with it.
Yes.
Test with your friends.
Yes.
Get comfortable playing the deck. That'll make you feel better.
And I don't know how you practice, but for me, like, I practice a lot of Magic online, but I made sure I went to the site on Friday and got in a couple of games with the physical deck in my hands, because it's so much, it's different. It's a different experience. Sitting down and playing across from someone. So whether, and it also, like, it gets you used to playing in that space, right?
Yeah.
It's like a much bigger space than your LGS. The tables are set up differently. So it lets you get a little bit comfortable in that space before you have to show up the next day and play in the Grand Prix.
Yeah. Make sure your sleeves aren't see-through if you're playing a deck that has any double-sided creatures.
Yes. That's very important. Make sure that
snacks?
Those suckers are opaque.
Yeah. Snacks.
Yes.
Because you don't sometimes always want to eat chicken fingers and fries. You know what
no,
I mean?
No. If you're me, you really don't want to. Do you know what? I don't even know the last time I ate Convention Center food.
Good job.
Thank you.
You pack snacks.
I really do.
I had to pack some snacks, like nuts and a banana and some water for this last one. And can I tell you something?
What?
It was huge. Like, people will say, make sure you have food and you're hydrated. And I was like, okay, whatever. Ha ha. And then this last GP, I did it. And I was like, it made a world of difference that I wasn't just downing Diet Cokes the entire time and like eating super salty food and feeling terrible.
Yeah.
So
maybe
in Australia they have different food at their convention centers. Like,
maybe it's great.
Maybe it's like kippers with some Vegemite.
That was not Australian. And I don't think kippers are Australian either.
I don't really know what kippers is other than it's a fish.
I'm pretty sure. Is it a fish?
Isn't it a fish?
I think it's like a sausage.
What?
Is it?
Okay, I'm looking it
okay,
up.
Okay, so besides that, I usually don't pile shuffle when I'm like at a draft or something. You're right, it's a fish. Okay.
Huh.
But pile shuffling is actually something that you should do when you take out your deck, when you first sit down, and after sideboarding, because it will let you count your cards to make sure that you have 60. Because not having having less than 60 cards is quite bad.
Please do this. Take it as a note from me at the last GP that you don't want this to happen to you.
So always make sure that you're starting out with 60 cards at the top of the match, and then after each time you sideboard. Also, make sure that you de-sideboard before you leave the table.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because there's no guarantee that you're going to remember it when you, if you didn't do it and you sit down to play the next round.
Yeah.
If you forgot to sideboard, like, you're presenting, not the deck that you registered, and that should be that's usually a game loss. Also, if you forgot to sideboard, or if you forgot to desideboard, and you draw cards, and you realize that you're not playing your deck that you registered in game one, you need to call it on yourself, unfortunately.
Yes, you do. So, call a judge on yourself. Yeah. Sometimes you gotta take the hero's way out.
Yep.
By the way, if you want to know the Wikipedia definition of kipper, make sure that you've eaten recently and don't feel like you're gonna puke, because it says a kipper is a whole herring, a small oily fish that has been split into a butterfly fashion from tail to head along the dorsal ridge, gutted, salted or pickled, and cold smoked over smoldering wood chips.
Oh, okay. And they eat it. Terrible. They eat it in the United Kingdom, Belgium, the Netherlands, the Isle of Man, Japan, and a minority of North American regions.
Oh, it's breakfast.
So not Australia. Just want to point that one out.
Yeah. Another quick tip is to, when you finish the round, set a timer on your phone for the end of the round.
Mm-hmm.
So then you automatically know for sure that you should be back within the area. Of course, rounds will go over typically by, you know, like 10-15 minutes because of people finishing in turns. But I find it really helpful to at least know when the round has officially ended so that I don't have to panic.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I missed it. Oh, my God. So, yeah, that's a quick GP tip from me.
Yeah. Other than that, yeah. Like we said, go. It might be nerve-wracking, but it's also super exciting, and you learn a lot. Something that helps me is to actually kind of have, like, a small... Like, it's not, like, quite a, like, a ritual, but it's, like, unpacking my bag for me, like, at the... When I go to a new match is something that can, like, help calm me down a little bit, because I get very nervous right before a match starts. So just, like, carefully, like, counting each of the things that I take out of my bag, like, okay, here's my deck box. Here is my dice bag.
Yeah.
Here is my pad of paper. Here is my pen. Here are my tokens. And it's like, okay, once I get all those things on the table, I feel a little bit like a little bit more grounded and a little bit more ready. So that's something that helps me.
Head, shoulders, knees, and toes. I check that I have all of those before every match.
Smart.
If I don't, probably left them somewhere.
I've forgotten my toes underneath so many tables.
Creepy.
It is.
if I'm nervous too, I find talking to the other person, like, sometimes they're not a talkative person.
Yeah.
Sometimes they look like somebody you don't necessarily want to have a conversation with, but sometimes they'll be like, hey, you know, where do you play? Or how do you like your deck? Or how are you doing this weekend? You know?
Yeah.
That can kind of help break the ice sometimes too. You know, you're both humans, allegedly. I don't want to make too many assumptions.
Nope.
Roswell was a thing, and we're all just trying to have a good time. So, you know, above and beyond, just have a good time at the GP. That's what they're there for.
Mm-hmm.
So that's our advice. Good luck, Ruby. Wish we lived in Sydney and could hang out with you.
Oh, that would be sick, man. Be super
Sounds
sick.
Sounds like an awesome place.
It really does.
Great kipper. New goals!
Hey, everybody. And if you didn't know it, last week, Maria and I played in GP Minneapolis.
Yeah.
We both made day two.
Yes.
And we both earned our first pro points.
Pro points. Pro points.
So, holy muck face.
Oh, my God. That's my nickname for Kipper. I'll have one hot muck face, please.
Anyways, that's been a goal of both of ours for a very long time.
Yes.
And it was super sweet to finally accomplish it.
Yep.
But anytime you accomplish a goal, if you want to keep moving forward, you need to accomplish a new goal.
Yeah,
you need to set a new goal.
Rest on those laurels, okay?
No, laurels don't even look like they would be comfortable.
No.
And frankly, most of them have somewhere to be. So, like, get off of Laurel, all right?
So true. She has a life of her own.
She really does. Like, she can't keep supporting you.
No. So, Megan, what's your new goal?
So, this is a tiny bit of backstory, which is that going into GP Minneapolis, I had something like a little over 800 Planeswalker points.
Yeah.
And you need 1,300 to get a first round bye for the rest of the season. And I've had a first round bye this year. And at that point, I had, like, given up getting it, you know? I was like, fine, I'm not going to have it for next year.
Planeswalker
Whatever.
Points, by the way, you can get them by attending any kind of sanctioned Magic event.
Any event. Some events have multipliers. Like, GPs have a huge multiplier. PPTQs, Grand Prix Trials have, like, a somewhere in the middle. And then, like, if you go to, like, an FNM or, like, a draft at your store, then that's just going to have...
Yeah.
You're going to get 3 points per win.
Yes.
That sort of situation. So I was like, do you know what? Whatever. I'm going to just have to muck it out like everybody else.
Like a muck face.
Like all the other muck faces. and play the first round in the coming year. And then I, after both days of GP Minneapolis, which was the very end of the season.
Yeah. Yep.
1,300 is the cap. I had 1,220.
No. Daggers, man.
Daggers. And I thought about it. And like, we've gone to a couple of Grand Prix in the past year.
Yeah.
And we've gone to a couple of PPTQs.
Yep.
I've gone to it. Like, I think I went to like a Grand Prix trial. And I was like, do you know what? Those other Grand Prix where I didn't make day two, I like, I usually didn't finish out the day.
Yeah.
As soon as I lost my fourth one, or before that, I lost my third one, I would drop. And that, that's the difference. Between, like...
The multiplier is so strong.
The multiplier is so strong, and it happened at enough different events that that's easily, like, if I had played out the rest of the days at any of those events, or played out the rest of the rounds, like, I probably would have hit it.
Yeah.
And another thing, like, that kind of ties into something that I have trouble with, which is that I definitely fatigue.
Yeah.
Throughout the course of a day. So my new goal is that, like, and it's not very glamorous, but this, I have two.
Okay.
This one's not very glamorous, which is just to, when I'm out, like, when I'm done, I'm going to keep playing.
Yeah.
And when I think I'm done, I'm going to play one round more.
Yeah.
Like, I'll, right, like, sometimes...
So are you saying would you play out day one, even if you weren't going to make day two?
Say at the end of day one, like, say I'm at, like 4-3.
Yeah.
And I go to, it's like four, and I, like, I'm like, okay, I'll play one more.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, I'm really tired, I'm done. I will play one more after that.
Okay.
So I'll keep playing until I'm tired, and then I'm going to play the next round.
I mean, you'd still make day two, you're X and three.
That's true. I was thinking about the old system.
Yeah.
My bad. I'm 3-4. Right. Let's say I'm three and four.
Keep going.
So yeah, that's my like personal goal of like, I'm always going to, like, I'll keep playing, and when I feel like I am so done for the day, I will make myself play another round.
So are the Planeswalker points starting over from zero now?
Yep.
Oh, boy.
Sure are.
Yikes.
See you guys all in round one.
Yep, we're going to get there just the same as everybody else.
Yep.
Yeah, because two buys, like, honestly, is
absurd. Huge. It's a huge difference. It's a huge difference.
And what is it, at gold or is it at platinum that you get three?
Platinum, you get three. Gold and platinum, you get three.
That's actually absurd.
It really is.
Buys, like, oh my god. Of course, you have to be in the winner's bracket, but I mean, even so, it's crazy to play three less rounds than everybody else.
Yeah, man.
Just on fatigue alone, honestly. Yeah.
It really is. It's insane.
So my new goal after making day two in this standard GP, which is something that I never thought I would ever say in my Magic life, I would like to make day two in a limited GP.
Nice.
So a lot of people say that limited GPs, you know, it's so much luck, blah, 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 blah. It's not as much skill. You know, I think that's complete and total muck face horse hockey. Limited is just as hard, and if not, in some cases, not like way harder than standard. So I want to challenge myself to get to the same place that I felt so confident when I was playing the standard GP, like I was playing versus a lot of good matchups or whatever. And I want to have that same feeling where I sit down and I just feel so confident across from the person I'm sitting. You know, maybe they have a sweet bomb, but maybe somehow I'm like, that's okay. I've got ways to deal with it, or I've built my deck well enough that I don't feel afraid. So that's my personal goal.
Nice.
Yeah, so we've got some time to accomplish this, you know?
I have a second one,
which is
more of like a tangible than the one that I named, which is to, we haven't played a ton of PPTQs.
No.
We really played very, very few, considering.
Yeah.
So I want to win a PPTQ.
Okay,
like,
that's a good
one. I'm going to bump up the number that I'm playing a little bit, as much as I can. Like, we still can't make a ton because we both have kind of crazy schedules.
Yeah, we're busy.
We're busy ladies. But that's my goal.
Yeah. You're going to one this weekend, right?
I am going to go to one this weekend.
You know what? I don't want to jinx it, but I think you're going to do really well.
I mean, you jinxed it hard, bro.
No, I didn't. Come on. GP Costa Rica. Talk about a location for a GP, am I right?
I was seeing photos of it throughout the weekend. It just looked incredible.
Oh,
there were
God.
Pictures of people who had gone swimming between rounds.
Ah, that's awesome.
I was just like, oh, snap.
Oh, that's pretty sweet.
It looked amazing.
Beautiful. I went swimming between rounds in Minneapolis, but it was just in a drinking fountain.
How did you fit?
I'm very small.
Maria, secretly, this big.
We use this complicated system of mirrors to make me look like normal human
size. It really
is.
It is all smoke and mirrors.
The problem is, when I was very little, I got put in a washing machine and I shrunk.
Oh, man, I'm sorry. People always say don't dry your wool.
Yep. I'm 100% wool.
Maria is also 100% wool.
Yes. Do you know when I was little, I actually thought, like, don't go in the dryer because you'll shrink.
What? You should also just not go in the dryer because you'll die. Like, that's a good enough reason.
Because, like, my mom would always say, oh, you know, whatever, it's going to shrink in the dryer. Yeah. And I was like, oh, my God, if I get in the dryer, I'll come out like a tiny human.
Is there a video, like, have, like, I feel like, would Jackass do it where they put a person in a dryer and, probably, like, turned it on? Okay, you guys, if that video exists, please tweet the link at us.
They definitely put somebody in a porta potty and lifted it up on a crane and then, like, dropped it or something.
What?
Yes.
I don't understand that, but I want the dryer one to exist. Because I'm super curious in a morbid way. I mean,
you would die pretty quick.
That's what I think.
It's hot in there.
Yeah, it gets really hot.
I mean, they could put it on low, and then it may be like a fun little ride.
No, I think you'd still die. You'd at least get majorly concussed.
Oh, that show is terrible.
Oh, I'm really creeped out right now for some reason.
Yeah. Let's not talk about getting in dryers anymore.
Nope, let's not. So, Seth Manfield took it down again. Just crushed.
I mean, this guy. Like, yeah. What? You know?
I don't know.
Is he Canada?
Is he Canada? What does that mean?
Canadian.
Is he the country of Canada?
Yeah, is he representing the entire country?
I am Canada, and so are you?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's Canada. I don't know if that's true. I'm just saying that.
Oh, I thought he was from Canada.
I don't know.
Anyway.
He could be.
He could very well be.
But really, couldn't anybody?
Guess what deck he was playing, Megan?
He was playing green-white tokens.
The Bane. So this recently became the bane of my existence.
Yeah, that's right. Tell us, can you give us a short story about why green-white tokens is currently the bane of your existence?
So, like, I played it twice in the GP, I think. That was my tie.
Yeah.
And once, I don't remember.
Okay.
But that was lucky for my deck, turns out, because it's not a good matchup for me. Mm-hmm. Because if they can stick a Planeswalker, it's pretty bad. Because then they're just churning out tokens for free, and I'm trying to attack you. Mm-hmm. And if there's just a bunch of dumb little plants blocking me, there's nothing I can do about it. So I went to a Friday Night Magic, and I faced, in every single round, green-white tokens. No joke.
Boy, oh boy.
I wanted to just...
Scream.
Barf.
Cry.
Yep.
Do a tap dance.
Nope.
Climb a tree.
That was one thing I didn't want to do.
Burn down a car.
Yep. Burn that car to the ground. I wanted to commit a tire fire.
Yeah. You don't start tire fires. You commit them.
I mean, if you're going to commit to something in your life, why not a tire fire?
Yeah, why not?
I need a better mouse pad.
Okay.
Seth, man.
Are you just Googling if he's Canadian?
Yeah.
Okay, so we had lots of green-white tokens at Costa Rica. In fact,
American.
He is.
Apparently.
Whatever. Canadian, American, same difference.
Yeah, I agree.
Sorry, Seth. But wouldn't you rather be from Canada?
I mean, he just won the World Championships. No big deal.
Yeah, last year.
Yeah.
He won the last one. He's currently leading the Player of the Year race.
Over, like, Owen?
Yeah. At the GP, at the Pro Tour, he overtook him.
Oh, really?
And he's just been winning Grand Prix since then.
I mean, I guess if that's what you're going to do, that's what you're going to do.
Yeah. Out of 151 players in day two, 32 of them were playing green-white tokens.
This is the deck to beat everybody.
Mm-hmm.
This is a scourge, which we must wipe from the landscape.
Yeah. We have to crush it. We have to sweep it under the rug.
Yep.
And we have to burn that rug to the ground.
In a tire fire.
Commit the rug.
Yep. Next most popular, Megan's baby, Black White Control.
Yeah, man. I like it. It's a good deck.
These two decks are the decks I don't want to play. That's the two most popular ones.
It's a rough day for White Weenie.
Yeah.
Which is probably why you don't see a ton of White Weenie decks in day two.
No.
Next we have Banned Humans, Banned Company, Grixis Control, Cryptoth Rites, Seasons Pass, and then we get to Mono White Humans.
Wow.
Five copies and five copies of Red White Humans.
Oh, that's crazy. Yeah. Okay. Well, interesting. So, yeah, I mean, it's not like we saw anything totally crazy in this top eight or in this day two.
No. Well, we did see
there was
something
one deck
crazy in this day too. Frank Karsten's Blue Black Prison.
Oh, what? Frank Karsten, you crazy. What are you doing?
Came in 15th. So you ready for this deck?
Yes.
You ready? 3 Days Undoing. Do you remember this mythic?
I mean, I remember the art.
Do you remember this mythic?
The art's very pretty, so I'm like...
The art is super cool.
I'm kind of happy it's in a deck.
2 and a blue for a sorcery. Each player shuffles his or her hand and graveyard into his or her library, then draws 7 cards. If it's your turn, end the turn.
Yeah, and the reason why everybody was like, throw this in the garbage is because like...
End your turn.
End your turn.
End your turn.
The only way that this card is usually good is if you can play your first new card before your opponent can.
Yeah, like you have access to all new 7 cards.
Yeah, and then you can do something. But like, what is this doing in here?
It ends your turn.
Oh.
It's ending your turn.
Okay.
It has 4 Nagging Thoughts, which is a common from the current set. 4 Part of the Water Veil.
This card.
Are taken extra turn with Awaken.
Sick.
So that's that. 4 Pour Over the Pages.
Okay.
Card drawn. 1 Rise from the Tides.
Sick.
Right?
So many zombies. I mean, like, literally everything in this deck makes a zombie.
What?
Except for, like.
Oh, yeah.
Prism four, Ring.
4 Prism Ring. If you're wondering what Prism Ring does, you're not alone, because who would remember?
I remember this art. Why do I remember all the art, but not what it does?
Yeah. 1. It's for an artifact, so just 1. As Prism Ring enters the battlefield, choose a color. Whenever you cast a spell of the chosen color, you gain 1 life.
Oh. Okay.
Right? So you're just gaining life. You're gaining life. You have Jace's Sanctum, which is 3 and a blue. For an enchantment that says instant and sorcery spells you cast cost 1 less to cast. Whenever you cast an instant or sorcery spell, scry 1. I'm really digging this deck.
So
the
like,
more I read it.
4 Anticipate.
4 Engulf the Shore and 4 Hydro Lash to keep you from dying.
Okay, so you're not dying because you have Engulf the Shore and Hydro Lash.
Yes.
You're anticipating to find what you need. Are you the only way that you're winning is Rise from the Sides?
Or an Awakened Part of the Water Veil.
Oh yeah, that's true.
Or your opponent just gets weary.
Yeah, your opponent's like, ah, screw this, man.
It's quite tired. They get quite tired.
This deck is so, so crazy. I want to play against it.
I want to play it.
Well, I feel like we've got a perfect combination.
Oh, interesting.
Maybe we can try this on some stream.
Yeah, we will, actually.
Okay.
Tune in, you guys. Follow us at MTAcast, and then we'll tweet when we're going to go live.
You can also follow our stream, twitch.tv/TheMagicTheAmaturing.
In the sideboard, it has a Displacement Wave. Again, what? X blue blue, return all non-land permanents with converted mana cost X or less to their owner's hands. Negate, Dragonlord Silumgar. But the black splash is 4. 4 Thing in the Ice. 2 Guardian of Tazim.
I mean, yeah.
Sure, sure. And 2 Jace of Vryn's Prodigy.
That's so crazy. I love that this deck is not like playing Jace in the
main deck. Like, it's just like, no,
nah,
do you know what? I'm sorry.
We don't need it.
I just have too many other things to do right now.
I just can
like
do
like a lot of other stuff
I'm
that I need to get done.
I'm pouring over some pages. I'm parting some water veils.
I just have a lot to get done. Okay.
Making 1,000 zombies.
1,000 zombies.
This deck seems spicy and weird, and I like it.
Yeah.
Good job, Frank Karsten.
Frank Karsten.
High five.
Coming in. Actually, I believe that it was Martin Mueller who showed up at Grand Prix Manchester with this.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay.
And Frank Karsten said, I'm in love, and then played it.
Martin Mueller, another just like, that. I just, for some reason, I just love that guy. He's like a young kid, very quiet.
Yeah, he is.
Just like kind of quiet, and then all of a sudden, boom, hey, I am a super great Magic player, but
yeah.
Did you notice me? I was sitting quietly in this corner.
That's how they all get you.
By the way, I won.
Sitting quietly in this corner.
Yes. So yeah, that was GP Costa Rica.
Yeah. Notably, it also marked, as we mentioned, the resurgence of Bant Coco.
Yeah.
There were some Bant decks at GP Minneapolis. Mm-hmm. But it was, again, as we mentioned, on day 2, Bant Humans, 15 copies, or 10%, and Bant Company, 12 copies, or about 8%.
Yeah, it's pretty big chunk.
Of that day 2. And what I noticed is that some of them, there were like a couple of flavors. There was one that was like a little bit more aggro, like a little bit more centered around some tiny creatures.
Oh, okay.
There we go. Oliver Tews? Tews? Yeah. Anyways. Has Thraben Inspectors and Knight of the White Orchids and Thalia's Lieutenants, but then also Reflector Mages, Duskwatch Recruiters, Flamehold Pacifists, Tireless Trackers. Hmm. And then there was also a version that had Eldrazi Displacer, which is just sick when you have a Reflector Mage in play.
Oh, yeah. Big time.
That's Brian Bronduin's Bant Company.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah. So a couple of different flavors of Bant making their return.
Yeah. I mean, we're like winding the season down now, mm-hmm. you know? It's almost going to be time for Spooky Moon to come out.
Oh, man. Spooky Moon. Although cards won't rotate out. It will only add.
Right.
But who knows what's coming in Spooky Moon.
Spooky Moon. I just want to check moon. The release date really quick.
Okay.
So we can anticipate sort of when to expect something new. Pre-release, July 16th and 17th.
Oh, what?
Yeah, that's next month.
That's next month. As always, it falls during when I have graduate school.
Megan, stop it.
Like 100% of the time.
Do you know what I have to do, everybody, to get Megan to come out and play? And she's like, I have school. And she makes little fart noises. And I'm like, Megan, no, you're coming to the pre-release.
Yep.
That's the argument.
That's about how it goes. Well, let's sum that up.
So coming up,
Spooky Moon.
Spooky Moon on the horizon. GP Sydney on mm-hmm. the horizon. Of course, Pro Tour Sydney will be with Spooky Moon.
Spooky Moon.
And then things will really get shaken up, and I'm excited for that.
Very excited.
Community Super League.
Hey, everybody. This week is the Community Super League Iron Root Chef Challenge.
Yes.
We are very excited.
Yeah, this is my favorite challenge for sure.
Yes.
We played this at the Community Cup.
Yep.
And we absolutely smashed face and made Wizards really embarrassed. They went home crying.
They had actual eggs on their faces.
It was awkward.
Yeah, man.
But it was really fun to create decks based around a certain card.
Yep.
And make them as flavorful as humanly possible. So we're going to do it again. Nate Holt, of course, the wizard, rather, is judging our decks.
Mm-hmm.
So we have some high standards to live up to.
We really do. We are playing around. We are building around Satyr Hedonist.
Satyr Hedonist. Do you remember this little guy?
I remember this little guy. He's from Theros.
He is a 2/1.
Yeah.
And you can sack him and tap him and sack him.
Do you have to tap him?
You know what? I don't actually know. Satyr Hedonist. Okay. So,
Hedonist.
Oh, wait. My internet's dead. Use your phone.
Yeah, okay.
Anyway.
Yeah.
He makes 3 red mana is the end of the story. And, of course, he's a hedonist, so he likes to have a good time.
Yeah, he likes to.
He likes to party.
He likes to have a good
party
time.
Party down. So. Okay.
I mean, not to give anything away.
No,
but,
no, not to give anything away.
But.
But that's just his flavor text. So, yeah. So in flavored decks, you want to have a good story. You want to have cohesive cards. You want to make sure that it all kind of goes and fits together. You want to take into consideration the mechanics of the cards, the kind of cards that they are, and the flavor text around them. So it's a lot to think about, but you can get really, really creative. And this is a super fun format that I, you know, wish people could try out with their friends more because it's so fun.
Yeah.
To be able to build decks like this. So, yeah. Our decks around Satyr Hedonist.
Red Sacrifice. Add red to your mana pool.
Okay.
So you don't have to tap, but you do have to pay red.
Pay red. Okay.
Add red.
The other person, the way this is working this week is that one other person in the CSL has the same ingredient.
Yes.
And so we're fighting
head-to-head
with Aaron Forsyth of Wizards.
That's right.
So, it's a community versus Wizards matchup for us.
So much is on the line.
I know. We have to uphold, Megan.
We do. We have to defend. We have to fight.
I don't want to say for sure like what the other cards are because I don't want to maybe give it away. But there are some sweet building ingredients.
Mm-hmm.
And there are also some building ingredients, which are just like the absolute worst card ever. But
what?
Kind of funny.
Yeah. So, it's going to be amazing.
So I'm really excited to see what these decks are like.
It's going to be great. Come check it out this Thursday, twitch.tv/magic.
We played last week was Modern No Ban List.
That's right.
It was like epic. There was a lot of people
insane.
Who tuned in. The matches were great. So you can go back and watch them on YouTube if you look at Magic the Gathering's channel. I played a deck that was called Postdrazi. So we're using Cloud Post and casting some big Eldrazi and Primeval Titan. Ulamog was in this deck. Emrakul was in this deck. We're making 20 billion mana using Cloud Post. and Green Sun Zenith going to get what we need. Let me just tell you this, though.
Tell me it.
I practiced this deck for an hour before the Community Super League because I was petrified because we had to play Paul Cheon.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
he was playing an extremely powerful deck, which was Blazing Shoal Infect, meaning he could kill me on turn two or three if he so chose and got his combo together. Notably, a terrible matchup for the Eldrazi Clubhouse deck. I was so nervous, Megan. I was sitting there like, just kind of shaking.
I wasn't around this week.
No, I was all alone. And like, these are the kinds of games in No Banless Modern where you draw your opening hand and you sit there and look at it for 3 minutes. It feels like Legacy or whatever, where that's what you, but your opening hand is so important that you just have to stare at it because the decks are so powerful.
Yeah, you have to be like, can I do my thing? Can I do my thing right away?
Yes. And oh my gosh, it was difficult. In the first game, people were, you know, I had no idea because we don't hear commentary, obviously, while we're playing. But I held a, Dismember in my hand. Well, he had Inkmoth Nexus, but Blighted Agent. And I didn't kill it because I wanted a 3-for-1. And Chad is like,
Maria,
what are you doing?
You never try and kill infect creatures on their turn. You never do it. You never do it. You
but
only
I did
kill.
It.
Oh my God.
I waited and I got that 3-for-1.
Oh my God. Maria, you never try and kill infect creatures on their turn.
You should have seen. I mean, like, they were like, what is she doing? She's got it. She's not playing it. And I had tested beforehand and I'm like, the blowout
is my
just
God.
So
oh
sick.
Oh my God.
Like, he could not come back from it if I was able to do it. And so I did. It was great. There's another really tough play, which people didn't seem to think was as tough as it was in commentary, which was he sided in Blood Moon against me, which obviously shuts off my plan pretty easily. And I thought knotted him on turn two or turn three because this deck can do that. And I had a choice of Blood Moon, a couple of, like, it was either Blazing Shoal, one other piece of the combo.
Yeah.
Two copies of it. Plus, like, three Ponders and a Dig Through Time, which he could cast.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there looking at that like, oh my God, this is like, he didn't have the creature. He had one part of the combo and about a million ways to search for it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, well, if I take the Blood Moon, I can make my plan work and just try and hope I can get in there fast enough. If I don't take the Blood Moon, I'm taking another piece so he can't get the combo. And I think I sat there for like 3 minutes just like staring at it like, what am I gonna do? Eventually, I of course took the Blood Moon because I figured like that's how I win. I win just by smashing his face and hoping he can't assemble it. And in the end, that's what did it. But behind the scenes, which you can't see, was me like completely freaking out over what I was supposed to rip out of it of his hand. So go back and watch that match and all the matches from that week because they were really sweet on YouTube. Anyway, Community Super League, Thursdays, 5 p.m. Pacific on twitch.tv/magic.
Awesome. Before we do our flavor text theater this week, we wanted to let you know that we have a super special show coming up next week.
I know, I'm so excited.
It is Judge Fest 2016.
Yes! We named it that because we definitely have had Judge Fest 2015, Judge Fest 2014, and Judge Fest 2013.
Surprisingly, we also had a Judge Fest 2010.
Yeah, yep.
Before we knew what magic was.
How does that happen?
Who knows? Up to you to find out.
But yeah, Judge Fest 2016 coming up. We were inspired to do Judge Fest when we were attending that sort of like judges conference.
Yeah.
Where we did our Women in Magic panel, which you can watch on YouTube. But like so many people were on Twitch asking the judges questions during this one seminar where it was called Ask a Judge. And I was like, this is a great idea. So what we're going to do is we're going to stream live an episode, which we'll also record, but you can come into Twitch and ask judges any question you want. It can be any kind of judging question that you want. And we're going to have a panel of three judges competing.
For points.
For points and
for
dignity.
For dignity, for honor, for their families.
Yeah.
Who we've taken.
We have Liam Neeson'd their
families. Wait, no, they're going to Liam Neeson us. We did not.
We were the bad guys in that.
Oh,
anyway.
Oops. Wow. Okay.
Yikes.
Oh, man.
And at the end of the show, one judge will walk away with the most arbitrary points and be the arbitrary winner.
They're also going to be Judge Jeopardy.
Judge Jeopardy?
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you think you know more than the judge, check that out.
It's going to be awesome.
If you have any question at all, think them up. You can email them to us in advance, magicktheamaturing@gmail.com. You can watch our episode live, which is going to be next Monday. It's going to be around 7 or 8 Central.
Mm-hmm.
So tune in. You can also follow Magic the Amaturing on Twitch right now, so it'll alert you when we go live, or follow us on Twitter, and we'll send out a tweet when we're live. And you can ask questions live in the chat, or you can tweet your question at us at MTAcast. We'll save them, and we'll ask the judges. They'll have buzzers. They'll have to buzz in. It's going to be like total game show. It's going to be awesome.
It's going to be great.
It's kind of a way for us not only to like get a lot of interesting judge questions answered. Like, you can think of actually the hardest question you can.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to answer it.
Yeah,
we've
man.
We've got top level judges on this thing, okay?
They're smart. Good.
But we also want to celebrate judges and kind of like do something for them, like a fun event for them, because they do so much to help the community. So it's our way of saying thank you while at the same time having some fun and giving some information back to the community.
Sweet.
Judge Fest 2016, next Monday, 7 p.m. Central Time. Flavortext Theater presents the original Flavortext Theater.
That's correct. I'm going to crack a pack of Innistrad here.
Yeah, and I am going to be a person in a scene between Megan and I can say whatever I want. Megan, however, is restricted and can only read flavortext from cards in this two-person improv scene.
All right.
Okay. Tell me when you're ready.
Sure, I'm ready.
Okay. excuse me, over there on the side of the road. My lawnmower just stopped working. I don't know. Do you know anything about lawnmowers?
I'm sure you have a story. Everyone has a story.
Yeah, I do. My lawnmower stopped working.
You can tell it to the bars.
Do you mean I should go to the bar and get drunk because my lawnmower stopped working? I mean, that's definitely a plan I could consider.
Sometimes it's best for the lost to stay lost.
Okay, buddy. I'm sorry. I mistook you for someone who could help me. I can see you're just...
When I was a child, we worried about picking the wrong mushrooms for the cook pot.
Do you have drugs on you? Are you a drug dealer? Because if you got the hookup, I mean, my lawnmower doesn't work. We're going to that bar across the street.
It came in on as quickly as taking in a breath of air. Cathars who had fought shoulder to shoulder were at each other's throats. They were not themselves.
I'm gonna pass.
Days ago, you came to my door asking for help.
Oh my god.
Yet now you are here with accusations?
That's right. That's right. My lawnmower broke a few days ago and I knocked on my door. You're my neighbor.
If you're not surrounded by decadence, my question to you is, why not?
I mean, because I don't make enough money, obviously. I just work at a store down the street, so I don't have enough. But like, that's crazy. You're my neighbor. We're meeting on the side of the road. We should like go out.
As I have wept, so will Soren.
I don't know who Soren is. Is that your boyfriend? I'm sorry. Did you guys have a breakup? I mean, I know how that feels. I used to be married. Didn't work out. Now I'm mowing my own lawn, as you can see. I mean, unsuccessfully.
There is no place like a rooftop laboratory in a lightning storm.
And scene.
And scene.
Weird. Okay.
Very weird.
Hand
very
me a
weird.
Pack.
Your rare was Harness the Storm.
Boo. You gotta get better opening these.
Sorry.
Okay.
Sorry, bro.
Here we go.
Alright. Hey Barb, it's I'm ready to check out. I just thought I'd stop by your counter so I could also say hi.
Your loved ones are never truly gone.
Barb, I'm so sorry. I can't believe that they made you come back to work right after your cat died. That was horrible.
This is as far as I go, you know?
Barb, that's not true. There's so much more out there for you. It's okay. I know that Fluffy was so special, but you're more than a cat mom, I swear.
This is as far as I go.
Look, I promise you, there's farther you can go. You can become something besides a parent to a cat.
I'm afraid it's bad news. I'm afraid it's bad news.
You already had the bad news. Look, it's only going to be good news from here. It can only be good news from here, right? The cat can only die once, I assume.
I, too, have found some new playmates.
Barb, that's really creepy. Barb, did you taxidermy your cat?
I found some new playmates.
Barb, did you taxidermy your cat? Just nod yes or shake your head no, Barb? Barb?
The common cause of the hunt.
Did you hunt your cat?
The hunt.
Did you hunt your cat and then you taxidermied it?
Barb. New cults rising.
I'm just gonna go ahead. I'm gonna get my groceries and go.
Thunder isn't all that follows the lightning.
Don't follow me home.
And scene.
These are weird.
Yeah, they got this these get very, dark.
It's Innistrad.
It's Innistrad. So
it's Innistrad. So
ooh,
how could
I got
they
a
not?
Shiny warped landscape.
Ooh, very pretty.
It's kind of cool.
Look at this Invocation of Saint Traff.
Garbage.
Wow, okay.
I wish it wasn't, though. It's kind of a cool card.
I know.
Anyway. And this has been another edition of Magic the Amateuring.
That's right. Remember, if you enjoyed this, you can check us out on Stitcher, on iTunes, on our website, Magic the Amateuring, on Google Play Podcast.
Yep, you got it. You can.
Nailed it.
Yeah, we were having a bit of a problem with iTunes earlier this week, but Refresh has fixed that, So I don't know what their deal was, but everything's back to normal, so if you missed our last episode, go check it out. It should be up right now.
Yep. If you haven't checked it out yet, we have a sweet new episode of Magic the Pro the Ring with Jerry Thompson.
Yeah, it's great.
It is super cool. He talks about his time inside R&D
a
couple years ago.
Yeah, that was so interesting.
Super interesting stuff. Go check it out. On the website, magictheamateuring.com, you can grab playmats, you can grab t-shirts, you can grab just a look-see at what we've done in the past.
Yeah. By the way, of course, remember to send us in your JudgeFest 2016 questions.
Mm-hmm.
Hit us up, magictheamateuring@gmail.com.
Or on Twitter, at MTAcast.
Patreon.com/MTAcast is where to join our family. We hope you'll consider becoming a member. Our members are responsible right now for the studio which you see us in.
Yes.
Like, if you didn't notice, we have bigger desks now so that we're not cramped in a tiny podcast prison.
Yeah.
Which we were in before.
Which is where we were before.
Now we are free to move about.
It's amazing.
It is actually the greatest day of my life.
I have a new lease on life, man.
And this is all due to people helping us out on Patreon. It's just incredible. You guys are the absolute best and you mean the world to us. So thank you so much for donating to the show and showing that it gives you something that you like every single week. Maybe some rumbles in your Grumble Master, you know?
Yeah.
Say something.
I don't know.